Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. As we do on a Friday, we visit with our friend Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, outreach biologist. And sad to say, the ice fishing season isn't over with, Doug, yet, but we had our, our get your fishing house off the ice date passes by. This was past Wednesday.
It feels even worse than that. I mean, it's like, you know, and what the weather that we've gone through and continue to get, you know, just pounded on. I mean, the calendar might say the 17th of March. I think some people might say it's, you know, it's more like the 45th of February. But alas, in North Dakota, the deadline to remove ice shelters in North Dakota that actually came and went. It was on Wednesday. And the sad part about it is, if you had not been out there, if you hadn't been out to get your ice shack out there, it had been a couple of weeks and you kept on thinking, well, maybe next weekend we'll go out there and then there was cold and ice and snow. Maybe next weekend we'll go out there and there was cold and ice and snow. Your ice shack is going to be in probably a pretty bad situation. So I can't state it enough. When the sun is shining on this weekend, you got to get out there and get up. I will say though, I'm hoping there's a little bit of a prophecy with the sun shining on a Friday, and maybe even though things are going to get colder for this weekend, things stabilize in a little bit. Folks are going to get out there because, like in North Dakota, we don't have a fishing season end. We keep our ice fishing season open. Once we have open water, you just start fishing on the open water. There's places where you can be ice fishing in one spot and open water fishing in another spot. We don't close it down. The big point about the ice house removal deadline is that on that day, which was officially Wednesday, March 15th, you can still go out there and ice fish. You can use your shelter. You can use your house. You can take your ice castle out there. You just can't leave it out there unattended. It has to be something that you use. Then when you're done, you remove it. I want to also say that even in the short term, I know you might have said, okay, let's get this off of there. You can't leave it at the boat landing. You can't leave it at the access site. If something like that comes along, then you end up with 20 or 30 of them there, and you can't get yours out. They can't get theirs out. So removal is what you hear, and take it home is what the message is, Eric.
Have you heard of anybody having difficulty getting their ice houses or their fish houses off? Because we just had such a weird fluctuation of the ice quality that sometimes those ice houses or those fish houses freeze in.
Yep, we have. And it's just a son of a gun. I guess that's my short way to try to condense that is because we had such a problem with the snow in blocking people just to get back out to the lake. And then once they got there, so you take a beautiful fish shelter and the sun reflects off of it, bounces onto the snow, melts the snow. So then you've got water around the house that freezes, or you've got snow that blows over it. I mean, it's probably about as bad as you could ask. I will say that there were a lot of people. I don't know what that percentage is. 98% of the people knew that this was setting up for something bad. They had time and money that was invested into that equipment because it's no longer a couple of sheets of plywood and a blue tarp from Pomida that you call a nice fishing shack. And you're laughing because you've either been that or you've seen that, Eric.
Yes, I have. It's such a bugger. Is there any recommended method besides either a chainsaw or an ice chisel to get those things out? Because sometimes they can get a good several inch grab on fish houses, and it's almost like you almost have to destroy your fish house to get it out.
Yeah, and unfortunately, some people learn the hard way. Some people, if they want to continue on, they'll have raised it up and made sure that they had, whether it was jacks underneath or bricks underneath it to get it off the ice. So to make things a little bit easier, some people will try to heat it up and, put the heaters on inside to try to melt things, dump an ice melt around the side. You know, the other problem is once you get that running water or you get water moving and it's going through a hole, it starts to deteriorate the ice all around there. So it's also a good reminder that if you are heading out there, don't just assume since it hasn't been 40 degrees since deer season that you're going to have you know, really good, safe ice conditions. Because the other thing, when you get those warm temperatures and you melt the snow, the water starts to move just a little bit. You can have good ice conditions. It's kind of like early ice. You can have good ice, solid ice in one spot, really poor ice in another spot. We've got reservoirs that start drawing down, so that creates safe ice conditions on top in the reservoir, creates unsafe ice conditions on the rivers and the creeks below that. So, you know, I would tell you that you might have to be paying off with pizza and something else, but you might need to get yourself some friends. And as you referenced, you know, chainsaws, right, come alongs, and ice chippers, and all the king's horses and all the king's men, Eric.
All right, very good. Have you, we should talk about moose, elk, and bighorn sheep applications. I know you've been getting some questions on that. When are they coming out?
They are now out. I can tell you that the moose, elk, and bighorn sheep applications are live right now. And this is really kind of cool because some people, you know, may not even realize that in North Dakota, we have a viable population of elk, moose, and bighorn sheep to provide a hunting season. Now, the thing, I'll start in reverse. Bighorn sheep, we do a late summer count to determine how many tags. It's usually 3, 4, maybe sometimes 5 or 6. We don't determine the number of bighorn sheep until September 1st, but we do need the applications in now. The other thing on bighorn sheep is they are, you can put in as a non-resident for bighorn sheep in North Dakota, which doesn't happen very often where you get drawn for that. But if you're listening in Minnesota or South Dakota, you can put in for a non-resident bighorn sheep license in North Dakota. The moose and the elk, the details on those, we have 603 elk licenses available in North Dakota. When I saw that, even I was like, well, wow, that's pretty impressive to be, you know, what we see is a flat Red River Valley, Eastern North Dakota, Coteau region state to have 603 elk tags, but we've got some pretty strong elk numbers in the Badlands area. So we've got 603 tags available. That's 40 more than last year. Our moose tags, though, we've actually decreased that. Now, we've had some problems with brain worm. We've had some disease issues with moose. So we actually reduced our moose licenses by about 147. We do have 257 total moose licenses that are available this year. Probably the biggest thing is on a Friday afternoon, we're not telling everybody you got to stop and apply right today. The application deadline, that goes through March 29th. So we got, you got a couple of weeks to apply for it. If you think, well, that's not enough time, I need to determine. Well, most people that are going to apply for a moose or an elk or a bighorn sheep license in North Dakota, they already know that they're planning on applying for it. They already know which unit that they're going to put in for. They know if they're going to put in for a bull or a cow. So we can see it through our computer application system that invariably, whether it's moose, elk, or deer, or any other license, people wait until the last minute to apply anyway. So again, if the deadline seems like, gosh, you don't have too terribly much time, you've got until March 29th to apply for the moose, elk, and the bighorn sheep licenses in North Dakota. I would also tag that if you haven't thought about putting in for it, make sure that you know that even though it is North Dakota, these are not easy hunts.
Yeah.
The elk are in the Badlands. It's a tough hunt. The moose, well, most would tell you that the toughest part of the hunt is after you shoot the moose and you walk up to it and you go, wow,
that's big.
That thing's bigger than a cow. How am I going to get that out of here?
I know I'm running out of time here, but and I know where to find moose in Minnesota. I've seen them many times up by Thief River Falls. I have no idea where you find moose in North Dakota. I'm guessing Botno and the Langdon area, but maybe you can educate me.
We've got moose just about everywhere. One of the most interesting things is we've seen the moose population along the Missouri River really grow. We've got moose across the Red River Valley and Barnes County and Stutzman County, which also stands to the point of, for moose hunters, once you draw the tag and then you go out and you're basically spending a lot of time scouting, looking for places where you're going to find moose. And in the flat area, you know, sometimes a spotting scope and looking 7 miles, you can see that big moose standing out there. So you know, it's not going to be confused as much with a moose hunt in British Columbia or the woods of Minnesota, but the beautiful thing is they taste just as good, Eric.
All right, very good. That's it for another week. Boy, 24, 25 minutes goes by really fast, but we appreciate your time. North Dakota Game and Fish Outreach Biologist Doug Lear. Doug, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
Hey, thanks so much, Eric. Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too. That is going to do it for this week's edition of Farm Talk. Thank you so much for listening this week. We'll see you again on Monday.